illegal immigrants in custody in New York City. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News, facing charges after an off-duty Border Patrol officer was shot and badly wounded during a robbery attempt Saturday night.
There's absolutely zero reason that someone who is scum of the earth like this should be running loose on the streets of New York City.
Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem also said after visiting the officer in a hospital this morning that one of the suspects, who was also wounded when that officer returned fire, was allowed into the country illegally 2 years ago and has been arrested numerous times, facing several criminal charges before this attack.
How many more lives will it take? How many more people have to be hurt and victimized before we have public safety be a number one priority in some of our largest cities?
Now an update on an infamous illegal immigrant controversially deported in March with other alleged gang members and then returned by court order.
Lawyers for the Trump administration and Salvadorian migrant Kilmar Abrego Garcia have agreed to keep Abrego Garcia in the U.S. for an additional 30 days before he's released and likely deported while awaiting trial. Abrego Garcia was deported to El Salvador before being brought back to the states to face human trafficking-related charges in Tennessee, where he's currently jailed.
This Fox's Ryan Schmelz. A dad is in custody in Latham, New York, facing charges he murdered his daughter, a 9-year-old Canadian girl. This after he'd called 911 to report Melina Fertolin was missing after being kidnapped. But State Police Captain Robert McConnell says there were inconsistencies and then they found her.
In an area, Mr. Fertolin was suspected of having visited. During that search detail, at approximately 10:50, members of the New York State Police Forest Rangers located Melina, deceased, in the shallow portion of a pond.
The case of Harvard against President Trump back in a federal court in Boston this morning for a hearing into the university's lawsuit trying to unfreeze nearly $3 billion in federal money it claims was illegally withheld. The Trump administration is demanding Harvard make policy changes, claiming it's allowed anti-Semitism to flourish, harming Jewish students. America's listening to Fox News.
After joining the United States Army, Thomas Kennedy served 2 tours of duty in Iraq and 1 in Afghanistan. But sadly, this soldier's life was tragically cut short. Thomas was killed by a Taliban suicide bomber in Afghanistan. He left behind his wife, Cammy, and their beautiful twins, Maggie and Brody. Tunnel to Towers provided the Kennedy family with a mortgage-free home. Families like the Kennedys need your help. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there's lots of places that also have it. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every single second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock specialist is going to help solve the identity theft issues guaranteed or your money back. Save up to 40% off your first year with the promo code BECK at LifeLock.com.
From the News 11 Information Desk, I'm Manolo Tuyasosopo. 15 students from the Boys and Girls Club in Yuma teamed up with volunteers on Saturday for the club's annual back-to-school shopping event. The young students were each given $250 to spend during the event, where they spent it on a variety of items like school clothes and shoes. The students were selected based on their financial need as well as their outstanding behavior. And a man was rescued from a public pool in Yuma after being found unresponsive. The Yuma Fire Department says it took place around 2 p.m. Saturday. Upon arrival, firefighters found that on-duty lifeguards had provided immediate care to the unresponsive man. YFD then took the man to a local hospital, and his condition is still unknown. Lerner and Rowe Injury Attorneys is giving away 1,000 free backpacks filled with school supplies. The event will take place this Wednesday at the Yuma County Fairgrounds starting at 4 p.m. Catch us on the TV side every weekday at 5, 6, and 10 p.m. for your latest weather, local, and sports news.
For today, sunny and 103 with a southeast wind at 10 to 15, 78 and clear tonight. Tuesday again, sunny and 103 with 10 to 15 mile per hour winds, 74 on Tuesday night. Wednesday, sunny and 104.
You know your business needs to get in the digital game. Marketing on the internet, and maybe finally fixing your website. Don't let the world pass you by. Go to YumaAdvertising.com. That's YumaAdvertising.com. They're part of the Desert Southwest's largest media company, and their team has executed thousands of digital marketing campaigns across the country. Digital campaigns for businesses just like yours. Who knew they needed to get in the game? YumaAdvertising.com. That's YumaAdvertising.com. Don't let the world pass you by.
Wildlife around the globe needs help. And when you help protect them, you become a friend of the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. A real friend. The kind of friend you want to thank. And not just with a card or a text, but with a song.
Thank you for being a friend.
Travel.
down the road and back again.
Your heart is true, you're a pal and a confidant.
Thank you for being a friend. Thank you for being a friend. Thank you for being a friend.
From your friends at the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance, thank you for helping protect wildlife around the globe. Without you, there's no them. Learn more at sdzwa.org/friend.
Thank you for being a friend.
Did you know that 9 out of 10 Americans are sick of the divisions in our country? But there's one small step we can take to remember that we're still connected. All over America, strangers with different political views are coming together to talk about their lives, not politics, and discovering they actually have a lot in common. Because even if we don't see eye to eye, we can still talk heart to heart. So let's talk for a change. Learn more at takeonesmallstep.org.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
So, good morning, Carolina. Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law. I almost said Wife, Death, and the Law. Ooh, that could be a sister show. Yeah, that our wives do.
It's because your wife's out of town.
Well, she is out of town.
So she's top of mind.
Oh, where is she?
She's in Utah.
Okay.
And that's why I still am rubbing the sleep out of my eyes, because I've got teenage girls, my daughter and her friends, like, partying it up and keeping me up till 1 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm.
Is your wife from Utah?
No, but it's kind of like the central point for all of her family.
Okay.
She's got a sister from California and a sister from New York, and she has a niece that is going on a mission.
Okay.
And I think there's some other things happening that she for sure told me, but I don't remember what's going on. Oh, a wedding. There's a wedding that's going on in Utah.
That's probably the main reason.
That is actually the main reason. Yes, a family friend is getting married in Utah.
Aw, why didn't you go?
Somebody's got to pay the mortgage.
Okay.
So, it's an interesting story because about a month and a half ago when the summer started, she had outlined everything that we were going to do for the summer on this giant calendar, and she had color-coded it and put a lot of time into it and was pretty proud of it and wanted to show me. And so she unveiled this calendar of all the events that we had going on, and it showed that every single week one of us was going to be out of town. And so the question was, which one of us was going to join the other on their trip that was already basically planned so we could do this family vacation, because you got to squeeze a family vacation in there. And I looked at her and I said, no, I'm not going to do any more traveling. Like, just looking at that calendar is making my eye twitch right now. And that was not the best way to start the conversation.
Okay.
She really wanted to do a family vacation. And, of course, my son, who is 12, he always picks up on the cues as to what the tension items are and very innocently will continue to bring them up, like, why aren't we going on a family vacation? When are we all
going to... going on one single family trip this summer?
No.
Wow.
We went on a lot with each of the kids individually and with each other, but no. None altogether, which is quite frankly my preference. I don't like big groups, and I have a big family, and that technically qualifies as a big group. So I know I'm a bad dad, but
Okay. I would assume you would run away from Yuma. during the summer?
You know what? I like working on yard work. I like working. I've got this little dinky farm that I like to work at. And, yeah, the heat, I'll grumble about it. But it's for me to be stuck in the car or stuck at a hotel with a group of people is torment. And I'll brave 120-degree heat, you know, digging ditches for sprinkler lines in the desert anytime over that.
Okay. That's interesting.
But let's talk, like, you're the guest here. I want to talk about where you grew up.
Okay.
Hermosillo. Mm-hmm. Am I pronouncing it correctly?
Hermosillo, yes.
Hermosillo. Mm-hmm. And tell me about your background a little bit and how it shaped where you are today.
Well, I grew up in Hermosillo. I was born and raised there. And I lived there until I was 18. Then I moved away for college.
So when you grew up, at what point did you start learning English?
Ever since you're in kindergarten, they're teaching you English. Like, I probably
formally teaching you, but like informally, that's when you really get the hang of it, right?
Yes.
So when did you start really speaking English?
Honestly, I guess when I moved here.
Okay. When was that?
I was 23, I think.
So when you were 23, if we were to have this conversation, would you have a thick accent but a good control of the language?
Yes. Even right now, I feel like I'm still insecure about my English.
Really?
Very insecure.
Oh, okay.
For example, I spent the last 2 weeks not speaking like a single word in English because I was on vacation. And I'm like, no, how am I going to record the podcast if my English is not well right now? That's how I felt.
Yeah.
But yes, even though I moved here when I was 23, I used to come to the U.S. probably like once every couple of months. So I would practice. But once I moved here, it got so much better.
It's interesting because there's a lot of people today that, you know, are either social influencers or politicians that they're trying to work in some type of Latin slang or the accent, Latino accent, because it connects them with the people.
Okay.
You get to do that automatically.
I do.
And you might not recognize that that's actually maybe a benefit that helps you help your clients relax a little bit and know that you understand the broader view. You understand the cultural background of both being here and the opportunities in the United States and what's going on in other cultures as well.
Definitely. A big percentage of my clients only speak Spanish.
Really?
And to them, it's so important that my first language was Spanish and that I lived in Mexico most of my life.
Yeah.
So they know I understand. I'm here on a visa, so I can relate to most of them a lot. So honestly, I feel like I owe most of my success to that because I feel like they can really relate to me. They're like, I like that I can speak my first language with you. And that's actually one of the main reasons I connected to your office, because you had a lot of Spanish-speaking employees that could help my clients. So that was one of the main reasons that I was like, okay, I think I can work with them.
Yeah, Martin, you speak Spanish, right? What percentage of our staff speaks Spanish? Probably 80%?
Yeah.
Wow.
If not more.
I didn't know it was that high.
I think there's one that doesn't, but they're learning here.
Interesting.
Adam, you speak Spanish. Have you felt that it's helped bridge some gaps for you with clients that
I think it helps.
Are uncomfortable, like they speak English but are more comfortable speaking Spanish?
Yeah. A lot of times they'll just speak Spanish and I speak English. A lot of times they understand English.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so they can speak Spanish and I speak English back and we're totally fine. If I need to speak Spanish, then I'll speak it, but I prefer not to.
But you can understand it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting. And estate planning is so, it can be scary for most of my clients. But when I tell them, oh, there's this group of people that can help you in your own language, they're like, oh, really? And that's what really encourages them to reach out to you.
Yeah, we've been working more. We focus a lot on community education to help people understand what their options are and that it's not as daunting of a process as they think to get their affairs in order. And Adam's been working on getting that done in Spanish. Where do we stand on that?
It's almost done. I think we've got the script all done and all that. And the ladies have actually, they dubbed it.
They recorded it.
You guys used it, didn't you, at Trilogy? You remember that? You and Gonzalo?
When we did the webinar?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I think Savannah did like a dub over or something. Yes. Maybe she recorded it all.
I don't know. She did a Spanish version.
Yeah.
Okay. So what other parts of your childhood really shaped and were the building blocks for where you're at now?
I guess definitely what we were talking about having, you know, that U.S. exposure, just coming a lot and seeing everything. I never really planned on moving here ever.
Mm-hmm. How often did you come?
Like I said, every, like, a couple months. But I never...
When you were young?
Yeah.
Like, how young?
Very young, because I live 3 hours away from the border.
Mm-hmm.
So we would come all the time. And also, like I said, my mom's side of the family lives in Yuma.
Mm.
So I would come all the time just to see everyone. We would spend Christmas here and stuff. So, yes. But anyway, that was a huge point or like building block to where I'm now.
Uh-huh.
But what else? Probably just like seeing my dad be a business owner. I think that really shaped me.
What type of business?
He has, so where I'm from, everyone has like a ranch and cattle and stuff. So he has a business that... He also has a ranch and cattle, but he has a business that kind of like sells things for the ranch owners and stuff. So kind of like seeing him always as a business owner, I never see any of my parents as employees. So I feel like that kind of really shaped me as well. Even though I'm an employee right now, I do feel like I'm building my practice as a business owner.
Yeah.
And I never saw myself as a 9-to-5 employee ever.
Yeah. So you determine your own schedule. You look for your own clients.
Yes.
Based on your performance, you get compensated.
Mm-hmm.
You think a person, I've been thinking about this lately. Yeah, I think you're touching on it because I wanted to have a conversation with my kids. Like you might be, this is what I've found is as we have clients come in, seems like the most wealth that we see are those that are entrepreneurs or they've got their own businesses. Mm-hmm. Would you
200%
agree with that?
With my clients, the ones that are most wealthy are business owners.
Why do you think that is?
Why?
Yeah.
Well, you know why you're business owners. I guess you can make more money. When you're an employee, you just get a very specific amount and growth is very limited. But yeah, when you're a business owner, you can keep most of the profit, I guess.
Mm-hmm. You control it. I think, and we see the success stories, I guess you could say, because they're coming to us to get planning done, both financially on your side and then estate planning on our side. And so we see kind of the better successes, but that doesn't mean just because I'm going to go out on my own and do my own thing, I'm going to be successful.
Yes.
Usually it means you're going to fail. That honestly, you've got an 80% chance of failure. And so only 1 in 5 business attempts succeed. But that doesn't mean don't go into business. It means do it 5 times and then you'll hit the odds, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've been through roller coasters where we've worked for a couple of months and at the end of the quarter paid in a lot of money afterwards to have worked that quarter because it wasn't a profitable quarter. But then we looked at it, made some tweaks, learned as to what we needed to do, and made it so we could actually provide for our families the next quarter.
Yes. And you also have employees that you're responsible for, right? And they have to support their families and stuff. So it's a lot of pressure.
It is pressure, and for me, it's actually part of the satisfaction of the job, because I think that a lot of times I think I could come in and be an employee and not have all the responsibilities of balancing the bills that are to be paid and the advertising that has to be done and the constant recruiting of new clients and just do the work, and that might be an easier lifestyle. But I really enjoy the fact that we can help people come to an environment where they learn, they grow, they participate in, you know, something that is productive for society, and they go home satisfied and having earned something for themselves where they can be self-sustaining. That to me really is, and I know it sounds cliche, but it really is the most fulfilling part of working as a small business owner.
Wow.
Adam, how do you feel?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I wanted to ask, how did you get into financial planning? So you grew up in Mexico, but you were coming back and forth during that. And then when did you decide, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get into financial planning and I'm going to move to Phoenix.
Yes. So I always say kind of like life brought me here. I never planned on it. Like I said, when I moved to the U.S., I decided to move a day before. I was like, okay, I guess I'll move. So everything started when I was picking my major for college. I was like, okay, what pays more? And I was like, at finance. So that's literally why I went to the finance major. I finished that. And then my dad was really kind of like encouraging me to get a master's. He's like, you need to get a master's. It's like not optional. Just get it right now. Get that out of the way. Like, don't wait. So I was like, what should I do? Okay, I guess a master in finance. So I applied to the master's in finance U of A. And I was like, should I do it? Should I not do it? I got accepted like right away. And then it was like a day before classes started. And I was like, should I go? Should I not go? And I was like, okay, I guess I'll go. So I just like packed everything and moved to U of A. Got my master's, and I always wanted to work in something related to investments. I found the stock market fascinating. I was like, there's not a boring day ever in the market. And that's what I didn't want. I didn't want like a boring, repetitive job. Mm-hmm. I love numbers, but I didn't want to do accounting because of that. So I was like, I want to work in something related to the stock market. So I always knew I wanted to do kind of like investment planning or something of that sort. So when I got my master's, and then I started applying for jobs because everyone in my class was doing that. So I was like, okay, I guess I'll do that. And I couldn't get hired in the Tucson area because that's where I wanted to be. I couldn't find a job. So I was like, okay, I need to expand my radio a little bit. So I was like, okay, Phoenix area. Within like the first week I started applying, I got hired by Trilogy, and it was like financial investment planning. I was like, oh, this is exactly what I want. So I started that, and then I quickly realized it had nothing to do with investments. It was more like consulting and talking to people. And then I realized I really loved that. So that's how I got into it. So I got both kind of like talking to people and building relationships, which I love, but a little bit of portfolio consulting, management, and numbers, which I love as well. I thought it was like the perfect mix.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
We're the comfort experts, people you can trust. Ask our customers. That's why they count on us. Over 50 years of service, keep us going strong. We've got a name you can depend upon.
And electric.
Hansburger. Count on us.
In tough times, it can be difficult to know where to turn. If you or someone you know is looking for help, the Yuma Community Food Bank is here if you need a hand. We provide food and other resources to families, seniors, and individuals in need. We are open Monday through Friday. All you need to receive a food box is a photo ID with your current address. Visit our website at yumafoodbank.org for more information. The Yuma Community Food Bank also accepts donations in the form of non-perishable food, monetary donations, and volunteer help. You can choose to donate or advocate. You can choose to volunteer or raise awareness. You can choose to help end hunger. Call us anytime, 928-343-1243. Visit our main campus, located at 2404 East 24th Street, or use our food locator map online at yumafoodbank.org.
If you're the owner and or operator of a local business and want to continue to hear the right talk, please consider advertising on KBLU. Your advertising dollars are the gasoline for the Clark, Kilmeade, Hannity, Beck engine. Without your support, the old 560 just won't roll. Reach out to like-minded folks, the Patriots listening to this legendary radio station. When you do, you can invite new customers in and remind regulars to visit more often. And most importantly, keep the programming you love on 560 KBLU.
What is your healing power? Maybe your healing power is helping veterans with PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, depression, anxiety, or loneliness. Is your healing power a simple, heartfelt letter or being a volunteer? It is estimated that over 500,000 current warfighters will return from service diagnosed with PTSD, and 22 veterans will commit suicide every day. Our veterans have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our country. At HealVets.org, you can find out more about the healing power of pen pals, volunteers, therapy kits, and more. Discover your healing power at HealVets.org. Help Heal Veterans, together with you, has been helping one recovering veteran at a time. We are helping veterans heal together. What is your healing power? To find out about your power, visit HealVets.org. This PSA is sponsored by Help Heal Veterans.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures. Go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
So I've been doing that ever since, and I've never thought, literally not even one day I thought about switching or doing something else.
Have you ever had an itch to get more into the investment side, like day trading or anything like that? Or
no.
Not at all?
No, not at all.
That's not your personality?
I don't think so, no.
But that's what you thought when you went into finance, right? You thought,
yes.
Okay, Wall Street and yelling out bids for different types of stocks and buying and selling and making your clients rich. But in the end, you become something totally different that understands that aspect of it, but really is not appealing to you once you truly understand how it works.
Correct. Also, I was 20, 21. You want something that's exciting.
Yeah.
But once you're older.
And that sounds exciting too.
Yeah.
Because I know that a big part of becoming a lawyer was like, yeah, that sounds like a respectable profession. Well, maybe. Now that I say it out loud, doesn't sound so much so. I thought of litigating. I thought of going to court every day. I thought of arguing my clients' cases. And it's similar to your story. In reality, we do very little of that. We do majority of understanding what our clients need and figuring it out. Sometimes helping them figure out what they don't know themselves, but ultimately what is going to get them to help out their family and obtain peace of mind right now. So it took me, for example, a client came in yesterday and just wanted to talk about the difference between an irrevocable and a revocable trust, which is kind of a nuanced issue in a trust. It's not that big of an issue. It should take 5 minutes to talk about, but that was what the appointment was about. And I thought, there's something more to this. And as we walked through the appointment, we found out that they had done some genealogy and they had done some DNA tests and found out that there were some other family members out there. And they wanted to provide for those family members, and they had written their own addendum or codicil to their estate plan, and that's what they were going to use to care or provide for these other family members that were out there, that they had embraced the fact that they were family and they didn't want to leave them out. And I said, no, that's not going to be the best way to do it. Let's do it, in the pattern that you've been doing before, this formalized trust is going to avoid probate. but it took an hour to get to that point that that's really what they were concerned about, and for them to pull this paper out of their purse that they had drafted.
Wow. I think going to what you said, I think Sean and I have both experienced in the legal profession, you have, as you start off, it's like you feel like, oh, I'm going to work in that high rise in New York City and wear the suit and slick back hair. Right, Sean? You were thinking that.
I was.
You were. And then I was lucky enough to follow Sean's lead because he had already been through law school. He'd come and he'd practiced for a few years. And I was able to see maybe that life of the high-rise New York fast-paced gruel. It's kind of like alluring. But at the same time, or even better, what I was able to see was lifestyle really matters, especially with a wife and children. And do I want that or do I want Yuma, which is where I can be comfortable, I can be happy, and I can still make money as a business owner and have more free time to be with my family and my kids rather than the rat race of a metropolitan area. And so luckily I had Sean to lead the way, and I didn't get sucked into that portal because a lot of people do. They go to law school and they feel like, oh, I'm gonna be working in that high rise in downtown Phoenix or something like that.
Yeah.
And when they get there, they only last maybe 2-3 years and get burned out because this is such a grueling thing. And those big firms do that on purpose. They want to weed out those that are not going to make them the most money. And so they put these kids coming out of law school through everything.
Yeah. It's an 80-hour work week minimum right off the bat.
Yeah.
So you went through that, Sean?
No, he didn't. Well,
just as an intern for a bit.
In Kentucky, right?
Yeah.
You got a taste of big law.
Mm-hmm. And did that for 2 years. And then afterwards, it was a big question as to whether or not to stay and work in either Cincinnati or Louisville, Kentucky. And those were the two primary draws for the law students graduating. And it was difficult. If you don't start in as an intern, then it's really difficult to get a well-paying job. You got to start at the very bottom, small firm. You're making not even enough to pay your student loans. And so we're, you know, going back and forth between that. And my wife's like, well, what about Arizona? And I'm like, I don't know. You know, I remember when we left Arizona, we looked at Yuma in the rearview mirror and thought, never again. And so we came and talked to some of the business owners, and it did. It just felt right. It felt like this. There was a lot of you can have a good family work-life balance. And and there were so many opportunities. I could choose from different firms instead of just accepting whatever offer came my way. And that ultimately was the way we go, and it would take a lot to get me out of Yuma. I love Yuma.
Really?
Now. Yeah, it would take, I don't know. I don't know if I could be bought out of Yuma at this point.
That's interesting. Do you feel the same way, Adam, about Yuma?
Yeah, well, yeah, we're ingrained in Yuma now. So, I wouldn't. I like to visit other places. I mean, San Diego is fantastic right now, but.
You're right. You're close to really good, cool places.
Yeah. So we can jump down to Mexico. We can jump up to Phoenix or over to San Diego. Vegas, if you really want, you know, a party.
How far is Vegas from here?
Five hours.
Yeah.
5 hours. Okay, I think that's the same distance from Phoenix.
Yeah, about that. So it's just a great little, I think, gem that people don't know about, and I like to keep it that way.
Yeah, me too. I want to hear more about you growing up and your childhood. What did it look like?
I think I really did have a good childhood. It was very chill. We went on family vacations all the time, and we all enjoyed it. I have two sisters. So the five of us just, like, really enjoyed our family vacations. We would go, I don't know, skiing during the winter, and then during the summer we would go to California. I don't know. Like I said, we would spend a lot of time in the U.S. I never really got to kind of, like, see Mexico when I was younger. I started seeing Mexico when I got older because I'm like, I want to see the beaches in Mexico, so I started doing that by myself with my friends. But growing up, I think I had a really good childhood. The schools in Mexico can be really good, like bilingual schools, which I think that really helped and shaped me. But family time was really important for me. And
do you have a big family?
Like I said, two sisters, but I don't have like a lot of cousins or a big family.
Okay.
Besides that, yes. It was mostly like the five of us.
Did you participate in your parents' business? Did you work there? Did you brand the cattle? Did you
nothing? And if you ask me details, like what does he do? I'm like, I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Like we never got involved at all. Yeah, which is interesting because I know
if you were to do it again, would you?
If I had the choice,
yeah. Now, would you get more involved and learn what they did and just understand how your parents put food on the table?
I think I would. Yes. But I don't think it was a personal choice. I think my parents didn't want us to, like, get really involved. They want us to have just, like, a really happy childhood. Like, I didn't work until I was out of college. Like, I never worked, which is very different from here. I know in the U.S., people start working from, like, very early. So it's just it was just, like, a different culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what did you do to keep your out of trouble?
Keep out of trouble? I was just a good girl since the beginning.
But what did you do with your free time? You can't be studying all the time.
Yes. No, I had a lot of hobbies. I did horse show jumping all my life.
Which
took a lot of my time.
Okay.
Yes. And like I said last time, I danced ballet and I did that when I was younger too. So I was just like doing my hobbies all day.
Mm. Yeah. When you went back, you said you just got back from vacation down there. Were you down in Hermosillo or did you go somewhere else in Mexico?
No, I was in Italy.
Oh, you went to Italy.
Yes.
Very cool. You speak Italian?
I don't.
You look like you could be Italian, though.
Really?
Yeah.
A couple of people told me that. But I don't speak Italian. I wish I learned Italian before going. When I was there, I was like, I wish I knew how to order in Italian.
Yeah, but you basically can get it done.
You understood it, right?
That's why I didn't learn, because I was like, oh, I can get away with just, like, I know Spanish, but no. Like,
really?
No.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I understand a little bit, but not really. I tried to speak Spanish, and then someone spoke Italian to me, and we couldn't communicate.
Really?
So what was the – did you revert to English?
Yes. I would speak mostly English.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So you got back from Italy. I thought you went down to Mexico. So I was going to say, do you think it's safe? We went a couple years ago. Yeah, it's 2 years now with our kids, and that was kind of an ordeal. We went down to, like, the Cancun area. Not in Cancun proper, but beyond that in Playa del Carmen. And so getting ready for this trip, like we talked to the kids, hey, you know, you can get stolen. So
that's a possibility.
It is a possibility. So this is what we do, you know, go for the soft parts of the tissue.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So do you have any fears like that when you go down to Mexico?
It's funny because I didn't used to when I was living there. I felt so safe.
Yeah.
But now every time I go, I do feel unsafe.
But you grew up in the country, though. Right?
It's a small city.
Oh, it was? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Like, I got the impression you're out. Small city or like San Luis?
Like a million people, small city.
that's small.
Small city compared to like Mexico City or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got the impression you're on the outskirts, like a finca.
No. It was nothing like that.
Okay.
But I do feel unsafe, especially like as a young woman.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I drive there by myself and I'm scared.
Yeah.
The whole time.
Do you do martial arts or any type of...
No.
Do you do Pilates?
Yeah, but it's not the same.
No.
No, it's not the same.
It'll keep you healthy.
Hold on. I'm going to do downward dog. Back off.
Yes, that's not going to help. But I do feel unsafe. Like, I don't even stop to, like, go to the bathroom or get a coffee until I get home.
Uh-huh.
I do feel unsafe driving there.
Years ago, we went down to... where did we go? Rocky Point, Puerto Peñasco. And so we went down here through this port of entry, and we went horizontally across, like following the border, you know, and then like the Sonoida and then down. But about midway, there was a stop, and you don't know if they're like federales or if they really are or they're not, because they've got their machine guns. And so they stopped us, and it was pretty intimidating because you can't do anything about it.
Was it federales?
I hope so. You know, we stopped and they checked our vehicles and stuff like that. And we went on our way. But, you just never know. Is it cartel? Is it, even if it is, it might be both. It could be federales. They're part of the cartel. You know, you just never know. Do you think it's getting cleaned up a little bit down there?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't think so, yeah.
But the new president, you don't think she's getting it done?
I think she's doing good things. I do like her, but I don't know. There's still a lot of violence and stuff that you see every day in the news.
Oh, really?
How do her and Trump get along?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they get along well. He said good things about her, about her being a respectable woman and stuff, but I don't think she's very happy and friendly.
With him?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, because is she more liberal?
Yes, she's very, very liberal.
Oh, okay. What do you think about what's going on in Guatemala with the crackdown on the gangs and how they've been super severe on any gang members or any gang-related crimes and increase those punishments? So it's basically eliminated the gang factor in, I think it's Guatemala. Maybe it's El Salvador.
El
Salvador. But Guatemala did it as well, too. I think they're adopting.
MS-13.
Yes, some of the similar.
Are you familiar with that at all?
No, to eliminate gang.
Gangs, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, MS-13, they went hard. Well, they built that big prison, and that's, and then they just threw everybody in it. Like, if you get wind of somebody being part of the gang, then you're in prison.
Yeah, any really gang-related activity, especially tattoos or things like that.
You can't have a tattoo.
Not a gang-related tattoo. Yeah.
And they go door-to-door, like, basically investigating. Have the men pull up their shirts and look for tattoos. You got a tattoo that connects you to MS-13, then they take you right then.
Wow.
Yeah, it's intense. I watched, and you know, documentaries, you got to take with a grain of salt, but they had their own independent, like, societies out in the desolate area of the country. And they were self-supporting, and a lot of the typical inmates, you know, that were convicted of your, you know, theft or whatever, were overseeing a lot of these gang members, and the gang members weren't allowed to speak at all. And if the normal inmates were caught communicating with them or trying to, you know, give them any type of information, then they would be convicted of a gang-related crime, and which puts them in the same position. And so it was like they were very, very strict, and it just looked like that's not anything that I would ever want to get involved in. And that's why I can see that there's a lot of fear of individuals that have come across a border in the past 4 or 5 years that had participated in those type of gangs that are very scared of getting deported and becoming, you know, interned in those types of facilities.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Ante up for Yuma's homeless pets. Join the Humane Society of Yuma's Poker for Paws Tournament August 2nd at Sage and Sand. Win a $1,000 Visa gift card. Register now at HSOYuma.com.
Once there was a man who couldn't stand.
A mom who couldn't wait.
A scientific community that said it couldn't be done.
And then you.
And then I.
And then we. Brought neuromuscular disease into screaming color with the Muscular Dystrophy Association.
For 75 years, our voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
We've willed the impossible into existence.
We've pushed the science.
Raised the funds.
Shifted the narrative.
And transformed the reality of life with neuromuscular diseases.
For 75 years, we've built communities together.
Established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And made it thrive.
Call that a legacy.
Call it impact.
Call it momentum.
Just call it ours.
Because it's the generations of community heroes that give MDA the strength we have today.
And until neuromuscular disease is a thing of the past, you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Have you been gone? Like, I don't know if we saw the same one, but it was on YouTube. I don't know. but this documentary, like, they go from cemetery to cemetery, and if there's any MS-13 members in there, they destroy the headstones, everything.
Really?
Wow.
Annihilating any. Yeah. And so you watch and you're like, okay, the result is there is basically no crime now or any gang activity. However, in the wake of all that, a lot of people that are in prison shouldn't be there. They're not. Mm-hmm. They never were part of it.
That, and the government has to be almost totalitarian mm-hmm. to be able to enforce that kind of strict laws. There's not a lot of due process.
And that's the joys of living here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so you look at it, it comes at a real extreme cost. It's like you gather in everybody, throwing them in prison, then you ask questions later. But really, that never happens. So people just spend years and years in prison that shouldn't be there. They didn't do anything wrong. But here in the U.S., we have due process, which is, you know, fantastic. In Mexico, it's a different legal system. It's civil law. So here it's you're innocent until proven guilty. There you're guilty till proven innocent, basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're the attorney. So what I've heard about when people get, you know, like they go to this detention mm-hmm. centers for people that cross the border illegally.
Yeah.
Something about them not having a trial anymore. So what is that? What does that mean?
Well, so what was
not a right for trial.
And I don't know all the details about mm-hmm. it, but just, you know, seeing the clips that I have seen. Is when they crossed the border, they were given, and this was mainly run by the cartels. They would pay the cartels money to get them both to and across the border and to provide them all the information that they needed to apply for asylum. And so you apply for asylum, and your name's recorded, whatever name you provide, and you're given a court date, which is typically 18 months, 2 years down the road. And so then you're released. And you're supposed to have some type of sponsor that you're released to, like somebody that's
an address.
Yeah, a U.S. citizen that says, yes, I will be responsible for making sure this person shows up to their court date. But the cartels also established that. They established the individuals that would say who their name was and what their address was, but it was false information mm. that they were providing. And so it was just this whole big, sod that was set up to get people across the border, and so it provided billions of dollars to the cartels. They became very powerful in getting individuals across the border. In fact, if you try to encroach in their business, it was kind of like encroaching in, you know, a cocaine business or some other type of drug business. Like, they would do away with you very quickly. So anyways, a lot of people got across the border and then would miss their court date purposely, and just like, once we're here, we're going to get some type of amnesty or something's going to happen where we're going to get citizenship, fast-tracked to it. And with the new administration, they're saying, no, if you miss your court date or if you're mm-hmm. here illegally, we're looking for people that are criminals. But generally, if you're a criminal and you're an illegal, then you might be associated with a whole bunch of other people that are here illegally. And if we find the criminal and the other people are here that are not necessarily criminals or charged with a crime, we're going to take them all. And so they're going to the detention facilities. And, there's, you know, 30 people per room. And there's a toilet and a sink. And it's pretty limited facilities. But the question is, are they getting due process? Meaning, are we going through all the steps of establishing whether or not they've committed a crime? And the answer that the administration gives is, just by being here illegally, that's it. Like, and they're not American citizens, so they don't get all the constitutional protections that American citizen gets. And so they're going to these facilities and saying, listen, you can go back home, or you can wait for your court date to determine whether or not asylum that you're seeking really is a valid reason to be here. And that's what I understand. That's in a nutshell what I understand is happening.
I think the question is, how legally, you know, how much due process is afforded to a person that's not a citizen of the United States? Because the Constitution, due process is a constitutional principle.
Yeah, and just dissect that word for a second, due process, because people hear it a lot, but they don't really understand what it means, like probate, you know? So what's due process?
Due process, so I have a right to face my accuser and know what charges are coming against me, and I have a right to,
an attorney,
and to plead the fifth, where I can, if it's going to be incriminated, I feel like I'm going to be incriminated, then I don't have to answer questions. And then I also have the ability to cross-examine my accuser. Mm-hmm. And then what was the other one that came to mind?
You're presumed innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah.
But again,
so if you're not an American citizen, you don't.
Well, that's the question. So
that's the question.
We have allowed, I think this is my personal opinion. I don't know if it's true or not, but this is my personal opinion, is that we have afforded limited due process to non-citizens. Mm. And so that's where the rub is where you have an administration, one president comes in and they're in charge of, federally, they're in charge of immigration, you know, and the borders. And so they can, by the stroke of a pen, dictate how that's kind of managed policy-wise. The law is the law. Federally, there's laws on the book that say if you cross the border and you're not allowed, you don't have a reason to be here, you don't have a visa or some other valid reason for being here, then you've violated this statute, and now that's a crime, and so these other things can happen. But you have one administration that enforces that more than another. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you think about it. If you or I were to cross into Mexico illegally and the federales found out and arrested us, I'd be like, yep. I would presume that I would be prosecuted for committing a crime by entering into their sovereign territory illegally. And the reverse is true. If somebody didn't, like, even if as a citizen, I went around the port of entry and went over the fence or under the fence or through the fence or whatever it might be, and came back into the country without going through the designated port of entry, that's a crime. And I would suspect that I should be thrown in jail and prosecuted for that crime. Even though I am an American citizen and I am entitled to live here, I've got to go through the port of entry to get here and to leave here.
After this interview, I'm gonna start digging in.
Really good questions. You need to tell me what do you find out.
I will. I'm really curious. Just this isn't the first time it's come up. Our nation is now 250 years old, so these legal issues have come up, and I'm curious to know what the law is regarding this. It's been litigated, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
But like, how much constitution do you get? Basically,
I think we should start, like, what we should do, the best way to learn it is to try to get through the citizenship process. So we should do Project Citizenship Carolina.
As you're talking, I'm like, oh, I want to help her. I want to help her.
Let's do Project Citizenship Carolina. We'll get a GoFundMe account. We'll get the best lawyers out there.
No, remember, you can't buy it. It's a whole process.
No, but the lawyers can advocate for it. So that's what the GoFundMe would pay for.
Okay, so they can find a way to get me the citizenship.
Yes, they can understand what the laws are and navigate you through that legal labyrinth to get you approved as a citizenship. And as we navigate it, then we can understand, okay, this is a legitimate question. This is total bureaucratic crap.
Yeah.
And cut through it.
And it's all transactional. I mean, that's the type of law we practice. So whether it's bankruptcy, or we don't practice bankruptcy, but we've done that in the past, and it's very transactional. So it's using federal code. So immigration is very similar to that.
But
there's no money in it. But
yeah. But here's my caveat. One thing we practice, which we hate, is Medicaid applications.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know what the actual requirements are, and I know when somebody qualifies, but I also have to go through that application process with the government, and we will get denied almost every time.
Really?
I expect a denial on the first one. And I actually use the denial to to create the strategy for the next application. I don't waste a whole lot of time with the first application because I don't know what they're going to hone in on for the first denial. And once I receive that first denial, fortunately, they have to put it out in writing what grounds the denial is on. And so then once I can satisfy those requirements, then we can get the applicant approved. But it takes a long time and it takes a ton of energy that for me, it's hard to bill my client for because we charge flat fees. And so I only do it to keep involved in the process so our estate plans can enable people to more easily go through and apply if they qualify for Medicaid. But the component, you know, Adam's talking about, this is transactional. Yes, it is to a point, but then the government ultimately makes a decision. And when they decide no for the wrong reason, it's this bureaucrat that's got no accountability to us that we've got to push through.
So we'll make you a deal. We'll help you do that if you help us get land in Mexico. Because only
land in Mexico. You'll put it under my name.
Fide comiso.
Okay.
For generations to come.
Okay, deal.
Nice. Project Citizenship Carolina.
There you go. Well, any other words of wisdom for us before we go? We're out of time.
We're out of time?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think so. I think the conversation was very productive. I think you learned about me things I haven't told you in the past. So,
once we get you your citizenship card, what are we going to do to celebrate?
Celebrate?
Yeah.
We're going to Mexico.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Hermosillo?
Yes.
DFA.
Hermosillo. The beach is like 40 minutes away from Hermosillo.
Really?
Okay.
Hermosillo is over by, so it's that way. It's over south of Tijuana then.
South. It's south. Yes.
Okay. Hermosillo or bust.
Okay.
I love it. Okay. That's a big commitment, getting her citizenship.
We're going
to
do it.
I don't know if I'm going to commit to that.
It's going to take like 10 years. Thank you for having me. I had fun.
Thanks for coming in again.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner & Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Outings around the water are supposed to be fun. Help keep them that way by remembering the 5 layers of protection from drowning. Install fences and alarms around pools. Supervise swimmers vigilantly. Make sure everyone in the pool knows basic water skills. Use life jackets around open water and always prepare for the possibility of emergencies with rescue skills such as CPR. Together, these 5 layers can keep the good times good because anyone can drown, no one should. This message brought to you by the Greater Yuma Water Safety Alliance.
El Dorado Broadcasters and this station congratulate the newest Yuma County Chamber of Commerce members. Eddie's Food and Drink, CNS Signs, Bang Auto Glass, Mary Kay and Nancy Sabalos, and MB Flooring LLC. If you'd like to find out how you can become a member and join all the benefits membership brings, email Valeria@YumaChamber.org. That's Valeria@YumaChamber.org. Or call 928-782-2567.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because when people don't have to worry about where their next meal is coming from, they can truly thrive, like Marta.
And now we'll hear from our class valedictorian, who with her hard work never ceases to amaze us. Please welcome Marta Moreno.
And Alex.
Hey, Alex, how did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
I knew it. Let's meet up later to celebrate.
And Diego.
Mom! I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project!
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations!
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. feedingamerica.org/act now. A public service announcement brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.